I imagine what I am about to tell you is something that you are all aware of on one level or another. But here at St. Andrew's, we follow what's known as the liturgical church year. And this means that the year is broken down into seasons. And the church year begins with Advent, which is then followed by Christmas, then Epiphany, Lent, which we're in right now, Easter, and then after Easter, what is known as Ordinary Time. I know, Ordinary Time, it's so kind of anticlimactic. But most of the church year is spent in Ordinary Time. And we celebrate a few other dates in there as well. We celebrate Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the church year, the Sunday before Advent begins. Trinity Sunday, Baptism of our Lord. Transfiguration Sunday, which was last week. So Transfiguration is always before Lent. And we fall in Pentecost as well, when we recognize the coming of the Holy Spirit. And each season also has a color associated with it. Advent is blue, and you will note that at Advent I wear a different stole, and it is primarily a blue stole. Christmas is white, Lent is purple, Easter is yellow, and Ordinary Time is green. And if you're wondering, and you know, Neil, you pretty much always wear white. Well, that's because you can wear white anytime, and it's the one I have. When I have one that works for another season or another time, I wear it, but otherwise I wear my white stole. And helping us keep all of this stuff organized is something known as the Revised Common Lectionary. The Common Lectionary is a three-year cycle that carries us through the major books of the Bible. Each week there are four readings assigned to the lectionary, a psalm, an Old Testament, an epistle from the New Testament, and a gospel reading, except for in certain times of year where you don't get an Old Testament reading and instead it reverts to going through the book of Acts. And most Sundays you get two, maybe three of those readings, the psalm, the gospel, and maybe one of the other ones, depending on where my preaching focus is going to be. And those readings are often grouped together thematically, though not always. And our Sunday school curriculum, which we use, is also based on the Revised Common Lectionary, which means that the children are currently receiving a lesson on the same passage that I am perhaps preaching on. And so we are here at the first Sunday of Lent. And the season of Lent, similar to the season of Advent, is a time of preparation. I often refer to Lent as the long walk with Jesus towards Jerusalem. We prepare for the death of our Lord and then his subsequent resurrection on Easter Sunday. However, we can't get to Easter without first going through Good Friday, and we can't get to Good Friday without first going through Lent. Historically, as I said with the kids, Christians would give something up for Lent. That's where the Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday tradition comes from, of cooking up all that butter and fats and getting rid of them, which is why Fat Tuesday is another nickname for Pancake Tuesday. It's a time of sacrifice and reflection, these 40 days of Lent, mirroring the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert, that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Now, few necessarily hold to that tradition of giving something up for Lent today. Much of its ancient symbolism is lost to us in our modern world. In fact, while I was reading and preparing for today, I read a quote on a blog from a minister who was reflecting on Lent, of a conversation that they had with someone from another church. And the quote was, "We don't celebrate Lent at our church. It's too depressing." And to think that we should only be uplifted and cheerful in our faith. that we never prepare for those dark moments in life that can overwhelm us. Lent can be a dark time, and it begins in the wilderness. John the Baptist started in the wilderness. Jesus started in the wilderness, and perhaps we need to also start in the wilderness. Emily Heath writes, "Who wants to go into the wilderness? I'm not talking about camping and hiking. I'm talking about real wilderness here, where we wrestle with ourselves and our spirit and our relationship with God. What good is it? You can't put it on a resume. It doesn't earn you any money. It doesn't really make your life easier. It may even make it harder. So why would you do it?" Why indeed? The wilderness is a dangerous place. You only go if you have to. It's not something we voluntarily decide to do. We should note that Jesus did not choose to go to the wilderness. He was sent there by the Holy Spirit, rather rudely and abruptly, immediately following his baptism. And Mark's gospel is noticeably silent about what happens over those 40 days. We know the time frame. We know he was tempted by Satan. And we know angels attended him. That's it. Anything else we might know or presume is us filling in the gaps with what we find in Matthew and Luke's gospel accounts of the temptation. But Mark offers us no such details. Mark is silent on the events of those 40 days. And what does the silence found in Mark's account of the temptation of Jesus tell us about this encounter? Are we tempted to import Matthew and Luke's account into the temptation narrative? What is the risk of doing so? What is it about silence that frightens us? Do we focus on the fact that Jesus was tempted? Or do we focus on the fact that he overcame those temptations? Do we need to fill the silence in Mark's account with a list of our own successes? Lent is a time of preparation, and it is one that few are willing to embark on. Everyone loves Easter. Easter we can get behind. We are, after all, an Easter people. Everyone loves a party, but not everyone likes to plan and prepare for the party. Lent is the preparation for the party. The wilderness is a dangerous place. You only go there if you have to. We don't volunteer to enter the wilderness, but sometimes the wilderness comes and finds us. We don't generally seek out terror, loss, pain, or violence, but sometimes those things find us. Sometimes the wilderness happens. It appears uninvited and unwelcome. And often in the midst of the wilderness, we ask ourselves if we can take it. We wonder if things have become too much. We wonder, is it God's Spirit which has driven us there? After all, that's what happened to Jesus. does God want us to suffer? No. No, I don't believe God wants us to suffer. It also does not mean that God cannot redeem the most difficult and arduous times in our lives. Even deserted places can be holy. Even in the midst of danger and despair, we can perceive the divine. Debbie Thomas writes about this sense of redemption in the desert. She writes, "I am aware of how Christians have suffered under the false teaching that God authors human pain and suffering for some greater good of his own devising. He does not. But we walk a fine line nevertheless. Sometimes our journeys with God include dark and desolate places, not because God takes pleasure in our pain, but because we live in a fragile, broken world that includes deserts. And because God's modus operandi is to take the things of death and wring from them resurrection. God does not abandon us. Jesus being attended by angels in the wilderness should tell us that though the wilderness seems vast, isolated, dangerous, and terrifying, God is present there. Whether that wilderness is a literal backwoods, the present situation in our lives, mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual anguish, God is present with us. Lent is a time when it is all right to admit that everything isn't all right, but to acknowledge that we trust in the one who can help make it right. Lent is a time, as are all times, when it is acceptable to struggle with faith and ask difficult questions of God. Lent is a reminder that the wilderness can approach at any time, that it is easy to get lost, but there is always a guide to lead us back. Lent is a time when we must remember that God claims us as God's own. Lent is a season of discoveries, a season for doing something new together. Henry Nouwen writes, "For Jesus, there are no countries to be conquered, no ideologies to be imposed, no people to be dominated. There are only children, women, and men to be loved." Lent reminds us that we are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.